Amen? Barbara said that's her mother's favorite song, so we celebrate and remember. Good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day. For those of you joining us online, if you are not in Burns, it was 48 degrees and raining when I came in this morning, and it's overcast, so it's a beautiful day here, comparatively. You know, I do know that the farmers are all laughing and smiling because most of them have just gotten their plantings done, so all that's going on. Oh, by the way, they are handing out gifts for all the women, so if you see them wandering around, this is not a summons. But gifts for all of everyone, and thank you to Linda and to Stephanie and to Shelley Rayburn, and we're grateful. By the way, the table decorations all through Easter and through the seasons have been Linda Emerson's, and we celebrate her and give her thanks for her stuff like that. Shelley, are you a farmer? Are you not really? She has cows, so she's a rancher, but I see. But I would kind of like to be a farmer, but there's so much to learn. You realize being a farmer requires a lot of knowledge. For example, did you know that there are set prices for some things that cannot be changed? Like, for example, if you sell corn to a pirate, buccaneer. That was a long way to get just for that, wasn't it? But it's important to know if you ever go into farming corn. We are glad to have everyone here. We're celebrating. We're gathering on this Mother's Day, and I'm stalling just a little bit as the helpers hand out the gifts to all of the women in the congregation, and thank you, and celebrate. By way of announcements, we can do a couple announcements. Michael, Debbie Gunther is absolutely just chomping at the bit over there to give an announcement.
Good morning. First off, thank you to everybody that supported the crop fundraiser in April. We just got a check for $370 from Great Greek, so thank you. This Wednesday is Panda Express on Cedar, I think it's on Cedar Avenue over at the Target Mall. All day. You need either the online, the picture of the flyer or the flyer. And if you don't have either, let me know and I'll send it to you. And then next Saturday is the annual clothing giveaway, and I'd love help. Either Friday afternoon, 2:30 for sorting, or Saturday morning. Saturday morning will start at 8:30, and I need help putting stuff away also at like 12:30. Thank you.
Thank you. Debbie Gunther, Mission Chair. Sandy Tenney is now chomping at the bit. Do you know the origin of the phrase chomping at the bit? If you've ever had a horse, they have a bit to direct them, and if they get the bit in their teeth, they're literally taking control and taking it away from the rider. Chomping at the bit. Sandy Tenney, please.
There's going to be a memorial service Friday for, wait a minute, it's actually going to be Saturday at 10:30, and it's for Betty Lucas, and I'm asking for donations of cookies, brownies, and I know you won't believe this one, grapes.
Grapes?
Grapes.
Okay. Celebrations of Sandy Lutkus. Her kiddos are helping put a service together. We're going to celebrate that lovely lady. Other announcements on the back of the bulletin. You see those that we've mentioned. Are there others? Paya, did we forget anything for this coming week coming out? She says that we're organized. She may be. I am not, but she may be. So we celebrate that. The moisture is very welcome. I had 6/10 in my calibrated rain gauge this morning, So it's still coming down, and Utah Lake is getting deeper rather rapidly, actually. So we celebrate the water, and we celebrate Mother Nature and trees and flowers and blossoms and all of that. Amen? If there are no other announcements, but for the good of the order, let's stand and wave hello to one another and turn to our call to worship. Let us be in worship.
Please remain standing for the call to worship. God promised through prophecies years ago, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." God's spirit opens minds and hearts to make the commonplace exceptional. God, speak to us as we gather and listen. We want to see, hear, and feel the Holy Spirit presence to us. Listen. Listen in the wind. Listen in the rain. Listen in the sunshine. Listen in the daytime and under the stars. Come, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, light the flame of love in our lives. Opening hymn is "Leaning on the Everlasting Arm," hymn in your hymnal 133. Please be seated. First scripture reading comes from the book of Psalms, Psalms 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We turn to our prayer time. You see some of the prayers on the back of the bulletin that we hold in our prayers continue. Do you have other concerns to lift this morning as we are coming and as we are gathering? Michael Melba Taylor down here. I have a concern. My pen just died.
My daughter, Wendy, who usually sits with me, is having extensive back surgery tomorrow. So please pray for her and for her surgeon. Thank you.
Back surgery on Monday, right? Okay. She apologized to me and said, I'll be out for a little while. I thought, I don't have to apologize recuperating from back surgery. Other concerns? Ruella.
I'm having an MRI this afternoon to see if they can figure out a way to stop the pain in my leg. So even though it's better, it's not well. So prayers for that.
Okay, today. Okay. The noisy place, the noisy machine. Other concerns. It seems like there was something weighing on my mind. What was it, Ellen?
Making sure I covered the announcements and getting everybody on the
camera. No, I wasn't worried about that. I can't think of what it was, but I do want to lift all those unspoken prayers and just to be aware of. By way of celebrations, do you have anything that you'd like to celebrate this morning that you'll admit to? Please come, Miss Barbara.
Put my shoes on this time.
Okay. You don't have to. They can't see you.
That first song we sang, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms," I have sung that my entire life in the church and learned to play it as soon as I learned to play, and I never loved it. It was just a good song to play, but I never loved it. And a few years ago, when we were living in Utah, a young woman who had just become a Christian asked me to explain that song to her. And I had the chance to tell her that that is what God does for us. He holds us in his arms. And I've never felt the same about that song again, but it reminds me that our music ministry is vital to the life of our church. We never know when some song is going to touch somebody's heart.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. You know, it dawned on me as well, Barbara, that in the Catholic Church, all of the liturgy was in Latin, the Bibles were in Latin, but the songs told the stories. The songs helped explain. The songs were the enlivening piece that the people knew the words to. So as we hear hymns and know those lyrics, they are meaningful. Amen. Miss Ruella.
I just wanted to say that since I'm going to be out of commission today, my boys and three of my grandchildren came over yesterday and cooked lunch for me. Thank God I taught my boys how to cook. It was very good.
Amen. Amen. Celebrations. Other celebrations. We had a tree taken down that we were worried about that just kind of slid in, and it did. If you want to put a little extra in the plate, we could appreciate that, because yes, the young man who did that work, a neighbor of Diana's, good hard worker, but he needs to earn a living to take care of his three daughters and wife. So wonderful young man. So we got a handful of things done that have been weighing on Richard and I, and which we managed to get done. Other celebrations. Here's the birthday list. Are you ready? Monday, Becky Ross is having a birthday. Wednesday, Alina Relford is going to be 15. Oh, my goodness. Prayers for the Relfords. Wednesday, Richard and Susan Schneer. Does anybody know them? They're having an anniversary. 20. Amen. Thursday, Olivia having a birthday?
Yes.
Okay. Sunday, Rachel Ross is having a birthday. Okay. And here I have down Sandy's turning 63. Oh, no. Jean and Sandy Tinney will have a 63rd wedding anniversary on this coming Sunday. Is that true? Amen. Prayers for Jean. Yeah. Those are all that I have down here. I think my list is fairly accurate for this week. Any others? Any other ways of celebration? The water, the plants are out there just smiling and laughing and cavorting in it. Unfortunately, next week the trees are saying, it's pollen time. So prayers for everyone. Any other prayers? Let's join in our unison prayer and read responsively. Lord God, join us in this time of prayer. Lord, caring for those who, you know our prayers. You know the things we ask on behalf of ourselves. You know the things we ask on behalf of others. Refine us to be instruments of your peace in our world. Be with our families and our children. Lord God, thank you for being with all families and children everywhere. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, most precious God. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation. Loving, gracious, all-knowing, all-powerful God, you are with us this morning. We give you thanks. And just as we celebrate Jesus, who was like a mother hen over his flock, you are, as creator, mother, father of all of us. And your bounty around us is immeasurable. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've given us, all that you've blessed us with. Thank you for our mothers. Some of us have our mothers with us. Others offer them up as saints in light. And we lift them. We lift mothers that raised us. We lift mothers that nurtured us as teachers, as friends, as compatriots in ministry. But all that did that vital work of raising young, of offering nurture and comfort and care. We lift the grandmothers who raised our mothers, knowing the difficulties they might face, loving them, planting in them the seeds that prospered us into the love that them our mothers offered to us. We lift single mothers, perhaps the hardest role, raising, working, mothering, doing all of the work of that has to be done. Lord, thanks for them. Bless them, give them energy, give them strength, give them patience. We lift widows, we lift mothers who have lost children. We lift mothers who are in the midst of war-torn areas, trying to find ways to protect their young. We lift mothers in impoverished areas or areas with gangs and with violence, trying to find better lives for their children. Lord, we lift all the mothers unsung, all the women who have given of themselves out of the love that you have taught us. We lift them before you on this special day, and we celebrate them. We ask blessings upon them, and we offer up our love and our thanks. Lord, there are other prayers before us. There are conflicts. There are places where there are injustices. There are wars and rumors of wars. There is flooding. There are tornadoes. It is a busy world. It is the world in which we journey and seek to maintain the faith and be a light to those around us. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit within us and Jesus Christ's word before us. And your love of us always and everywhere. Hear us as we gather with all of our brothers and sisters from around the world with the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen. Celebrate a moment with Barbara's offertory. I forgot, Mark is going to also celebrate us. Thank you.
So if you guys think you're going to sit there and not participate, So if you want to sing with us, it's Turn to the Faith We Sing 2051. And if you see me waving my arms up here, that's because I can't help it, So.
Just
just one more surprise. I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see your life unfold.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Dr. Shaw, Professor Shaw. Now it's time for the second scripture reading. It comes from the book of John, John 17. Please stand if you're able for the reading of the word. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me so that they may be one, as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We invite the kiddos up, the young folk up, to lead us in the video ministry song.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, kids. I'm just testing my memory, and I tend toward that the golden view of history. You look back on the good old days and how wonderful they were. I know it's not completely true. I mean, we make things look so much better in hindsight. But I don't believe it has ever been rainy on a Mother's Day before in my knowledge in ministry for 30 years. Oh, well, yeah, Houston, yeah, I'm sure that might have been a different thing. Anybody, Sandy Tinney, have you lived here for a few years? Are you new to Aurora? Well, it might have been raining in Seattle, but in Aurora, do you remember it ever being rainy on a Mother's Day? Anybody? Doesn't matter. The memory is one of celebration. And we can remember this one as a beautiful, nourishing, lovely, wonderful rain. Amen. I grew up in the little community of Grand Valley, and then it got renamed Parachute. Well, it was named Parachute, then it got named Grand Valley, and then it got named Parachute, and then it got renamed Grand Valley. So pick your poison and, you know, drive the postal crazy. But anyway, 60s, it was a great place to grow up as a kid. We had a scout troop that could hike and go camping in lots of different places, and we chopped down some trees, couple of buddies and mine to make some towers. We chopped down some trees, built a raft to go out rafting on the Colorado River, and it sank, and it was a lot of fun, you know. We did a whole bunch of things. Just a little factoid there. When you cut down a lot of green trees, they sink better than they float, but neither here nor there. A lot of fun. It was easy going, and there was one TV station, KREX. And we got it when the weather was good and the antenna was aimed properly, and there was just whatever was happened to be on that one station, which usually wasn't worth watching. So a lot of time out in the wilderness having a great time. And yet I could not escape, even in those preteen and teenage years, some of the things from the 60s. The Vietnam War was on the back of my mind until I met, the most vivid memory was meeting a woman. And she looked like she was dying of cancer. I did not know what that was at that age, but I asked my mom after, I said, "Why does she look sick?" She said, "Her son is in Vietnam." And that weighed on us. Right up until my senior year, required draft, required enrollment, it was a hard and difficult time. The community divided, protests, and there were people on both sides of that issue, and not to mention the threat of nuclear war. This was a Cold War era, and so there were riots and there were hate crimes. There were hate crimes before they were called hate crimes, and we'd become aware of them, and nobody would then call them hate crimes, but everyone kind of shook their heads in sadness. So I remember that era of the 60s. But then I graduated, it was the 70s, and the world was a ripe peach waiting to be plucked. Boy, was I ever ready. Boy, was I ever happy. Boy, was it a great period of time. And I want to read you the lyrics to a song. And this is 1978. I picked up the paper this morning and read all the daily blues. The world is one big tragedy. I wonder what I can do about all the pain and injustice, about all the sorrow. We're living in a danger zone. The world could end tomorrow. Lord, 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 we got nothing but trouble. I don't remember that. As I was graduating, boy, the whole world was my pearl. Those problems were still there. They still weighed. But you know, sometimes we're not aware of how things have been bad in the past. We tend to look at how things are today and get a little worried, but think back a moment. I don't know how many of us are old enough to remember World War II. Germany was spreading across Europe, and they were about to invade England. And Churchill said to the people, things are bad. Talk about bad. Talk about evil. Talk about fear. Bombings. I can remember some of those other things. The 60s were the period of assassinations. Martin Luther King. John Kennedy was 63, but his brother Bobby. It was hard times. And I thank God for God's love and that never-ending love. And I forget sometimes to do what we sang this morning, lean on the everlasting arms. Sometimes I learn a song or a hymn, and I get the words in here, but the words are not connected to meaning. I can recite the words without them really connecting to say, we are leaning on God's arms. And Stephanie helped lead us in, I was here to hear your mourning, or Mark led with, I was here to hear your mourning cry. And Stephanie with, nothing could keep me from God's love. Those are good songs, good pieces, and good things to remember and to reflect on. I need to hear those because I get worried sometimes about things going on. I watch too much news. But it's different, too, because the news is now in high definition, and they have drones to zoom in on the action, and they have embedded cameras, and they have things to put us right in the midst of all that's happening. And I think I need to just turn off TV and computer sometimes. Just back away and lean on those arms. Because I get panicked and I feel like the world is out of control. I'm going to move to the middle of the desert and build a huge concrete dome and move Melissa and I into it, and nobody's getting close to us. That's a desire to control and to be safe. I have never been in control. None of us have ever been in control. It's an awful thing to hear. We want that. We want that sense of, but we're not going to get it. He is in control. But without control, we feel vulnerable and we feel afraid, and we put up gates and walls and borders and fences and moats and whoever knows, barbed wire. We close ourselves in and we isolate ourselves away and we stop living and start dying. What are we going to do about that? And how are we to be? And who are we called to be in Christ? Jesus' prayer in John, we have this first scripture there, John 17. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you may have given me so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them. And that feels wonderful, and that feels safe, and that feels secure. And we want that, and we want to be safe and in control and know that God is completely in control and nothing seems to threaten us. We'd like God to put a fortress around us. Did God put a fortress around the disciples? This is Mark 6. Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two. He ordered them to take nothing for the journey except the staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. That doesn't feel like putting a wallop around. That doesn't feel like being set in a safe enclosure. That's the definition of vulnerability in my book. Vulnerable. Jesus is praying for us to keep us safe and to keep us vulnerable, not by separating us from the world, but to be vulnerable to allow ourselves to be in it. Think about that difference. It was last summer, actually. I saw a gal walk up to the front door, and then she stepped back, and she was standing out there, and I, down at the office, I walked around there, and I said, "Can I help you?" And she responded in Spanish, and I panicked, and I thought, "I don't speak any Spanish. Do you speak any?" I said, "Do you speak any English?" "No," she said. She was 20-something, maybe 30. Two kids sitting in the car, leaning out the window, watching, carrying on. They were kind of tussling back and forth. It was kind of interesting to watch. But she said, and I thought, well, I need to just tell her, "I'm sorry, I don't speak Spanish. You're going to have to go find someone who speaks Spanish." And my barriers started coming up, and my boundaries were getting threatened. And I thought, "Oh, Lordy, what do I do?" And then I looked at her, I says, "Where are you trying to go?" And she was nervous too, because here's a person that she couldn't communicate with, and she's trying to, and she said it again. I said, "Slowly, you know, slow." So she said it slowly. I said, "No, that's not this." So then she looked at me with this panicked look on her face, and she grabbed her smartphone and she pointed, and the MapQuest had brought her to here, but it was not where she wanted to go. And I said, "Oh." So then I got out my smartphone, and we played MapQuest back and forth for a while. She had hers and I had mine, and we're sitting there, and pretty soon here we are laughing back and forth as we tried to communicate back and forth without language, really. And you know, nobody got hurt. Nobody got injured. Nobody. It was a blessed moment. I'm still reflecting back on the blessing of that day, because I allowed myself to be vulnerable. It's okay. God is with us in our vulnerability. He knew. Christ knew we would encounter pain and struggles and pollen and allergies. All right, I'm being a little bit of them. He knew that we would encounter things that might keep us from reaching someone else heart to heart. We might have differences of opinion over something. I can guarantee that everyone in here, we could find something to disagree about. And that's not even hard. What's more important is to know that we find things that we do agree about. And that's why we're here. And that's why we gather here and worship together, and that's whose we are. Because Christ knew that we could also encounter love and grace. Christ prays for us to be in the world, not just sitting outside watching it, not just being in the midst of, but be in that world and be strong enough to remain the Christians we're called to be in the midst of all this going on, because there are a lot of different things that tug at us, ideologies and politics and opinions and reactions. I can name some times when I have been the one that was abused from someone else who is being abused, and they took it out on me. Sometimes that's our role as well, to be the ones who absorb someone else's pain and give it up instead of passing it along. How can we break those cycles of where we're about and of anger and retaliation? And we do that by leaning on the everlasting arms. And when we are faithful, Psalm 1, we are like trees planted by streams of water which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that we do, we prosper. I love that. That image of a tree alongside the living water coming along, nourishing. I'm ready for that. And we can be that. Jesus did not teach us to build fortresses. Jesus did not teach us to isolate ourselves. Jesus did not teach us to be a homogeneous, monolithic community. I had to get those words together in my mouth. Did you hear that struggle to get those all looped in? That means we can be diverse. And we can be vulnerable. And we can be safe in that vulnerability through Jesus Christ. That's what he did. He sent the disciples out in the world. But he had this last scripture passage. You see, God came to the Hebrews when they were in the desert. They were lost. They're traveling around. And they were confused about where they were. And he brought them the Sinai covenant, the Ten Commandments, to help them become humans. And Jesus now makes a covenant with us. This is my new covenant. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I pray that for all of you. And I pray that you can be vulnerable. And if you are injured, I pray that you can lean on the everlasting arms. But I would be willing to wager that in that vulnerability, you will find grace instead. Because Christ is with us. Amen? Amen. Miss Barbara, if I could impose upon you to mount up your... get up on your buggy seat there, and let's take a closer walk, shall we? Stand if you're able. This is In Faith We Sing, 2158.
Lead us, James.
In the Faith We Sing, hymnal 2158.
Walk with thee, granted Jesus.
is my plea.
Three, four, five. I am there. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Go in peace. Be a little bit vulnerable. May the grace of God be with you in the middle of that. The Son inspiring us and teaching us. The Holy Spirit within us, offering to the world. Amen? Join hands. Let's sing our closing. And God's people said, amen. Amen.